What more do you want from me?
I don't want peace. I want problems, always.
The hunt is on, and you're the prey.
Yeah, the T-app exposed a lot of them, right? And women were running their miles like they were outing men. And they didn't, women never realized they were actually outing themselves, okay? I told my mentor, right, there's a whole bunch of women yakking about black men. You know, I think we had like 15 people on the Zoom, right? And most of them were actually women. They were going, bah! I said, you know, when y'all talk, we can hear you. When y'all talk negatively about black men, we can hear you. I don't think you guys listen to yourselves, okay? And then you come back to us like you never said it. No, we heard you. And so when we react a certain way, y'all act like you're hurt. Well, why are you acting like that? I said, we're acting like that is because we heard you. We heard what you said about us. We didn't like it. So we decided, okay, if that's how you really feel about us when you think that we're not listening, because what are we going to do? We're going to actually find an alternative route, which is passport bros, dating out, interracial marriage, okay? Basically the MGTOW, which is the couch, okay? In other words, we're not going to deal with you. Because we heard what you think about us, how you feel about it. But black women are some of the dumbest broads on the planet, right? Instead of being kinder and nicer and speaking well of us, they double down on it. They absolutely double down on that meanness because they don't know any other way to go. They don't know how to be nice to you. And men don't fight because they lose everything. They stick with it. Yeah, they do. I like CGA's position of women putting you in a position to cheat, assuming you got the motion, of course. Yeah. Because it's easier for men. It's more acceptable for men to cheat. Okay. It's easier for women to cheat. But the thing is, men pay, women sell. Okay. And the thing is, who's going to pay for damaged goods? If she's going to go out there and spread it, I used to tell my girlfriends, I don't give a fuck if you cheat, but thing is, if you're going to cheat, make that nigga pay and bring that money home. I am not paying for an exclusive woman and you're giving it away free to somebody else. Bullshit. If I got to pay, he got to pay.
My theory on men liking approachable women by appearance continues.
Sitting on the fence, right? A lot of them are choosing not to date. Now, the reason why I'm telling you this is because you kind of need to know how these men are currently thinking right now, because this will help you with your question. What can we do to make a man that we see and like approach us so that...
Would you rather be stuck in a forest with a man or a bear?
The bear.
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 Bear. So would you rather be stuck in the forest with a man or a bear? It seems like a ton of women are saying they'd rather be with a bear.
I agree with these women. If it were me and I was alone in the woods, I would prefer to see a bear than a man. It's not a bear that's roofying women. It's not a bear that is involved in sex trafficking. It's not a bear that women have to fear whenever they divorce that man or break up with that man. It's not a bear. It's a man. Truthfully, if men were honest and they were alone in the woods, even they would take their chances with a bear than another man.
What? Again, I understand the sort of social commentary that is being interwoven in the answers to these questions. Women are using this as an opportunity to talk about the adversity that they face at the hand of our male counterparts. Totally understandable. But you cannot sacrifice logic in order to make those statements. And I can almost guarantee that the men watching this video right now will most definitely choose a man to be stuck in the forest with than a bear.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Office Hours with your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones, and you're listening here live on FetLife Station at FetLifeStation.com and FetLifeStation.com. And if you're not checking us out through internet radio, then you can also catch us on most of your podcast networks. You can catch us at the True Stories Podcast Network. That's the True Stories Podcast Network. And what you just heard was several clips as we lead into this particular broadcast. And as I always tell y'all, man, you know, you're locked in with your brother. You're locked in with your brother. And like I said before, you can't leave. Okay? You know what I mean? We got the whistle at the door. You can't leave. All right? So we've been hearing all of these different things, right? As brothers, you know what I'm saying? We've been hearing all these different things concerning our circumstances. I mean, in regards to the so-called critiques, you know, as I call them so-called, because they're really, you know, attempts at shaming and insulting brothers. So like this one, right?
Black women are excelling. They're getting accelerated degrees, graduate degrees, doctorate degrees. They're starting businesses. Black women are running circles around men.
And but then now you're getting to a whole notion now where the men aren't approaching. The brothers have stopped approaching. And see, this is affecting most groups. Like, there's a big movement right now where males across the board from the ages of 16 to 40 have opted out of the dating scene. And, you know, this shameful language always being used. The men are gay, or, you know, there's situations like this one, right? You know, I want y'all, like, come on. There's situations like this that's really addressing the actual intelligence. It's insulting the intelligence of brothers, right? Like,
that men were stupid when they started advocating for mandatory DNA tests at birth. These are the same men who think that the government is lying about the earth being flat, that the government lies about the census, and that the government faked the moon operation. They will give the government full authority over their DNA to keep in a database forever and do whatever they want with it. But as long as it meant that women couldn't make them pay $150 a month in child support, that it's a win, right? The intelligent gender, everybody.
And I want to be clear about that, right? The gaslighting. That wasn't even about addressing the matter at hand. Is the child yours? You know what I'm saying? And I love how this young sister broke it down right afterwards. Check this out.
We're going to do all these leaps and bounds to make DNA testing at birth a bad thing. Men are just so dumb because they want to know if that baby is theirs. These broads are just so insane. Rather than holding women accountable for lying about who the baby's father is, or for sleeping with so many men during that period of time that she doesn't know who the baby's father is, rather than holding them accountable, no, it's men are stupid. You want the government to have your DNA? Guess what? The government, if they want your DNA, they can get your DNA. It's so easy for them to get your DNA. If they really want it, they can get it. They don't need to have all of this to get your DNA. If they want your DNA, they will already have it. Y'all will say anything to defend promiscuous broads and then try to reduce it down to $150. A lot of men are not paying $150 for their damn child support. Stop trying to reduce this down to justify your dysfunction, to justify the fact that y'all spread eagle to so many men that you have no idea who the pappy is. Stop putting on the cape for broads that behave this way. And I side-eye any woman or any man that does that because it's like, are you the type that would do that? Lie to someone for 18 years, telling them that's their child? And because anyone with a moral compass is going to see an issue with that and would want to advocate for something that allows people to be sure, that allows a mother and a father to be sure who's who. So
I knew that men were stupid when they started.
So,
help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
So, you know, it's kind of like, my bad, that was the wrong soundbite. Hold on. Sometimes I get ahead of myself. So, and we understand this. And fellas, I know a lot of y'all are in this predicament right here, right? You know, hold tight. This is how you feel like, you know, you're being treated. This is how you feel like the universe or whatever you want to refer to. I call him God, but you know, whatever. This is how you think you're being treated too.
Okay, love of his life. Give him another toxic one.
No! God! God, he's had it!
Okay, settle down.
I know how old he is. I made him. Okay. This is for character development. I know what I'm doing. I'm doing this because I love him. Send in the toxic
Right, fellas, you're getting your life together, and that's who shows up at your door. And that's one, and another reason why brothers are stepping off, man. Brothers are stepping off, doing their own thing. And, you know, this whole notion that if you don't take the abuse, if you don't want to be treated badly, if you don't want to be treated like you owe somebody something, you know what I'm saying? Then all of a sudden you're gay. Now all of a sudden you're impotent. Now all of a sudden, you know, your boys don't swim. You know, it's always attacks, you know, to what they deem to be your manhood, right? And, you know, it's crazy because I was watching a clip and it was a woman. It was a woman that was talking about, she was talking about how women are attracted. She thinks women are attracted to the other women. That's why they have, and shout out to Galentine's Day, right? Shout out to Galentine's Day. You know, hey, listen, man, that has to be the worst holiday ever. But I don't really, you see, I don't really speak on stuff like that because I don't really care. But a lot of the women were speaking on it. They were, you know, talking about this is the, has to be the gathering, the first gathering of losers and this, that, and the other. And questioning, why do women go to these things wearing lingerie and twerking all over each other? But she broke it down to a point that it made a lot of sense, right? And it's something I've been saying a long time ago. She said, you know, I think that these women really like being with other women. And, you know, it's like, and not only that, the fact that the men that they like have the same temperament as women. And what I mean by that, I mean toxic women, where they have, you know, they're quick to violence. They're quick to, you know, they're real sassy. These are the cats that are actually out there, you know, the gangsters that are out there with their pants hanging all off their behinds. And you know, they're out there, you know, they twirling their hair all day. You know what I'm saying? And they have the mannerisms of, they're emasculated. They don't have masculine mannerisms. And fellas, this is why we, you know, when we talk, I generally focus on us building ourselves up to a point of building ourselves up in terms of increasing not just our sexual marketplace value, but just increasing our value, period. Right? Because, and when I say increasing your value, I mean increasing, because this is the reality. This is the reality for a lot of people. And this is, unfortunately, this is, I want y'all to check this clip out real quick.
When you was in your peak, you ran loose. You had multiple dudes. You had a dude to take you out to eat, a dude that was good at sex, a dude you could call when you wanted company. She laughing because you know it's true.
I mean, yeah.
Yes. All right. So when a man reaches his peak, y'all like to go, oh, he's still immature. No, he's now at his peak. Mm. Y'all peaked at two different times. But the difference is what you like from him, status, money, resources, and power, he can have forever. But you can't be young forever.
Yeah. Oh my God, the laughing and all that giggling and all that changed the second he put that, you know, made that point. And you know, they can't be young forever, and they have to accept, you know, to acknowledge what the reality of the circumstance and situation is. You know, and like I said, man, in that first clip that you heard, shout out to BGS, man. Y'all should check him out. He's been dropping game for a long time. You know what I'm saying? So one of the things that he was talking about, and I mean, one of the things that he was talking about is that women, I don't understand with women. Actually, I do understand it, but I'm going to say it in a way that makes it make sense. It's perceived that women don't think we hear them, but they say it loud enough for us to hear. It's like somebody talking about you in the next room, but they say it loud enough for you to hear what they're saying. But they have plausible deniability because they didn't say it to you, if you understand what we're talking about. But here's the problem with that and that logic, right? What do you think we're going to do? And you know, me and some of my partners, we talk about this a lot. And we've all spoken to women that said, yeah, we complain and we talk about y'all, but, you know, we just think y'all should take it. Like, y'all should just be able to take it. And that's because the men that preceded us took it. You ever, you know, the man that came home and gave his wife his wallet on payday, like gave her his whole check. The man that just put his head down and went to work, came home, as long as his meal was made, he wasn't saying nothing. She'd be fussing at everybody in the house, fussing at the kids. The only time he got up is when she couldn't get the kids to do what she wanted them to do, right? She assumed dominion and mastery over the home. And this is what we talk about in the Black community, specifically in the matriarchal society, right? Because when you have when you're operating with the assumed authority that the buck stops with you, man, people do not like take you. People really, it's a really disrespectful, dysfunctional way of moving, because everything is fine and dandy till shit hits the fan. Then all of a sudden, you know, well, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And everybody turns to you as the man. When all of a sudden there's a crisis, there's a traumatic incident or event going on at that moment, you have to be the one to go into the phone booth and come out with your cape on all the time, you know. And that's the reality of being a Black man, right? Being a Black man in America, that's the reality. And we got more. We got more. Hold on. This is I'll play a lot of these things from the perspective of women, because a lot of times people assume, or they'll say things like, well, you know, I've never heard that before. I don't hear women talking like that. So when I play these clips, it's coming from women, right? So check this one out. Check this joint out right here. All right, hold on. I'm gonna get past the intro because that's just too much. All right, here we go.
Genuine question. And if you know me, then you know that this is coming from a loving place. And I promise I'm not a pick me. I'm genuinely concerned. So I was talking to a male friend of mine, and we were talking about this whole trending topic of, you know, men men should just leave women alone, period, right? And I feel like it's very divisive, not gonna lie, I'm just gonna say that. I feel like it's very divisive, but I know that he is not allowed to make a video saying these things, so I'm going to say it. If men should not approach women in public because we're living under the assumption that all men are bad, and women aren't gonna approach men because that's just thirsty, what the fuck are we doing? Like, genuinely, what the fuck are we doing? Like, when did all men become bad?
Well, because they're not. And that's the thing. That's the disingenuous aspect of it. This narrative that all black men, let's be clear, because they're not referring to other races of men. They're talking about black men. So that's the part that's causing the divide. It's really not the men, in my opinion, that's causing the majority of the divide. It's the women, because modern women have gotten to a space to where they believe their own hype.
And notice she can't even say black women. She has to say modern women. But when you use the term modern women, that's who most people are referring to. You can't even say black women because black women are above reproach in our community. And you know, people come for me all the time. Oh, you just don't like black women. I don't even deal with, that low frequency shaming or deflection technique or the moving of the goalpost or, you know, this thing where people pretend not to understand exactly what you're talking about. And the people that pander don't love you. The people that pander don't like you. They're perfectly fine. It's like seeing somebody that's stuck on, that's dealing with an addiction, alcohol, or substance abuse. And you're telling them, oh, you look just fine going outside. Knowing damn well they look a mess. No, damn well they look like what they've been through. And then you don't even have the scruples to tell them to, hey, listen, man, I care enough about you that I gotta tell you the truth because you are doing nothing but harming yourself. But let her proceed. I'm going to let her finish cooking.
They want to push this narrative that all black men are just inherently bad and they're this and that. But then you on the flip side, when you're really not getting approached by them and they're not, you know, checking for you, now you want to start to ask questions why. Because they know that all men aren't bad. They know all black men aren't. They know they're all of them are bad. They know this. But I think they want to push this somehow to force men to do what they want them to do. I don't know. A lot of black women have this mentality that they could control a black man.
And that's it right there. That's it right there. They still, and this is what I mean, fellas, when I say that, you know, only your absence will change the dynamics. Because as long as you're there, they will continue to believe that they can move and manipulate you in ways of the past. It's worked for generation after generation after generation. It's part of the epigenetic memory of the black family at this point. So it's in your DNA right now. So what they're trying to do is help to trigger a response that's similar so they can get back to what they do. And they typically run the household, run the communities, and you've seen the results. And then all they have to have is a bad day. And if you happen to live with a sister, you're out on the street. 911 is getting called and allegations of our abuse are in motion. And this ain't even me telling you to go to another group of women. I'm just telling you, listen, leave this part alone. And I know I'm talking to the minority of men because a lot of you brothers can't think past your penis. It's unfortunate. But a lot of you brothers can't think, you ain't programmed to think past your penis. Your penis was the only value you ever really had in life growing up. That's why nobody cares when women are out here, grown women are out here having these illustrious affairs with middle school students, middle school boys, getting pregnant, raping them. And nobody cares. They barely go to jail. When they go to jail, they barely get any serious time. And it's not seen as a great blemish on society that allows this to happen. And then you have the social pressure. There's still grown men out there that wish that they were groped or molested by older women. You hear them. I couldn't be me. I wish I had teachers like that. Like, you know, this is how, like, how sick the programming is. Not understanding the psychological damage that that does. You know who had an influence like that? R. Kelly had an influence like that. With both his mother and his sister. You know who else had an influence like that? Iceberg Slim had influences like that. With his mother's best friend, who was out there supposedly babysitting him while she was at work. You know how many brothers I've talked to who have been the victims of their older cousins, older sisters, making them do things, their aunties, their young aunties that were still teenagers, but they were old enough to babysit. Their pre-teenage, adolescent family members, how they would make them do things sexually, perversely. Like, you know what I'm saying? And drag these things on for years. Because we talk about, you know, the dirty little secrets when it's the other way around. We don't ever talk about when it happens to the boys. Nobody cares. Nobody. So the assumption is we can take it, and we're supposed to take it, and we're supposed, because what happens when you bring it up, all you see is tears, and the tears aren't for feeling bad about, you know, violating you. The tears are all about, I just don't want people to look at me this way. So the tears are a form of manipulation. They don't feel bad. They felt bad. Some would have said something. There would be an admission of guilt without anybody having to uncover the mystery, to uncover the crime. Once you get caught, your apology is null and void. Because if you never got caught, how long would it have taken for the apology to come forth? And let's be clear, the apology ain't never with the actions. I'm sorry if I made you feel a certain way, if what I did made you feel a certain way. No, you're not sorry for what you actually did. You're not apologizing for the violation. You're apologizing for how the violation made somebody feel. And that's another level of disrespect and misandry that we deal with in our community. We just have to call those things out. And I know I'm saying the quiet part out loud because, you know, it's funny, man. I've had these conversations with brothers and on the phone or in person, like somewhere isolated, like, you know, they'll open up about these things. But then when it comes publicly, man, they flip the switch. They turn into the biggest panda bears ever. So I don't even really have this conversation out loud too much. Only because, you know, the people that I'd be advocating for won't even advocate for themselves. As I always tell you, brothers,
the hunt is on. And you're the prey.
Let us proceed. Let DD finish breaking this young lady down.
And see, now that they don't, that control is slipping away because the men aren't, that you can't shame them into doing what you want. It's bothering them. So now they're just constantly complaining about all men, putting them all in that category. They're all this, they're all that. Because the ones that you want to do certain things are not doing it anymore. They're not taking on you and your kids. They're not taking any type of behavior from you. So now it's the shaming game. Shame them till you force them to believe because, you know, they don't know any better. It's like they really belittle black men and put black men down as if they don't know any better. And the moment they show you, hey, we listen to what you're saying and we're not going to just yield to you just because, they don't like it. So it's a shaming tactic and it's a way, you know, for them to lash out against black men because they're mad that men are not doing what they want. That's part of it. And it is a divide, but I think the women are the ones who are causing it. But let's continue.
Who's the example of, I have been treated like shit from men. But I still do not believe that they're all bad. And that's the only example I care to share. However, this conversation is is extremely divisive. And my friend would tell me like stories where he would be extremely respectful to women and they're still very like, ew, like leave me alone. Like, are we okay? And I think about that one fucking time I was approached at the gas station and that shit made my entire fucking day. So if men want to approach a woman, there's almost like that reservation that, no, I'm not going to do it because she probably thinks I'm a weirdo or I'm a creep or I'm cringe or I'm goofy, I'm this, I'm that. But that particular woman might actually be okay with it. But
see, and here's the problem with that. They still want to put the ball in the men's court because, you know, and they'll tell you that they want attractive men. Hold on. I think I got something here. Hold on. Let me see if I can find it. I think I had it earlier, but I'm trying to think. I'm trying to see where I had it, but I'm trying to find it. If I can't find it, don't worry about it. I'll just, you know, women, they want what they call like attractive men to find them, to seek them out. They don't necessarily want, you know, men that they don't approve of in terms of their looks, right? You know what I'm saying? They don't want those men out there. And then, you know, when a woman approaches you now, you got to worry about this, right? You got to worry about situations like this. Hold on.
Damn, hey, stranger.
God damn. I see you hit me about the blue. It's Hollywood. Where you been at, MIA?
I mean, I've been around, but, like, you going to pull up on me because, like, you in contact now, like...
Oh, man. I mean, today?
Like, right now.
Oh. I mean, yes, yeah, in the Addy. I'm on my way.
I'm outside right now. Let me know when you're outside.
All right, say no more.
All right, bye.
Woo! Like this shit, whatever. Hey, yo, tell me why this little bandit just hit me up out of nowhere?
Who?
She trying to link, gang.
Bro, what's her name,
where
bro?
She from, bro? Y'all trying to take my hoop?
Bro, you want some nuts?
Up there go to Addy. Like, told you where she from, bro. I'm out of here, though, man. Y'all be safe.
That shit sucks, bro. Like,
man, I see y'all when I see y'all.
Bro. We got the freaking drop.
Man, you on bullshit.
I'm not on no bullshit. Come on, I need you to pull up. He's on his way literally right now.
All right, man. Fuck, dog.
Man. We about to get it.
Man, sure you want me to slide? Okay. Talk to me. About the paddock, I was
moving too fast. Yo, yo. What up, man? You see me?
Got the condo, I was moving too fast. Oh, I see you. Okay.
Talk to me nice. What's up with you? Damn, my
fuck. What the fuck is this, bro? I don't know who he is.
Damn, you keep that back door open, then they gon' creep in for certain. Gotta watch these people while lurking, that's out here creeping to hurt you. Gotta watch the click that you banging with and these chicks that you hanging with. Cause shit, it get dangerous. Now your brain's on the payment quick. Body disabled it for putting your trust in the crazy bitch. And excuse my language, but that's what they get labeled in crazy shit. Now she dead on arrival, this shit gon' go viral. Don't leave that back door wide open for a chick that don't like you. She just gon' try to hype you for nothing to cite you. So keep that back door on lock and stop repeating the cycle.
And shout out to you know, my man Feast Banger for that clip, you know. And basically what that was a situation where some sister that he met called him up to link up, and the whole time she was setting him up for a robbery. Now, we all know that these robberies don't just end with somebody getting robbed. A lot of times, they end with somebody losing their lives. So, you know, these situations all exist. And, you know, I'm really tired of women playing dumb, women trying to create, like, situations of plausible deniability when it comes to situations and circumstances like this, like they don't exist. But they exist when it comes to their sons, though. Now, all of a sudden, they want to screen their son's dates because they want to make sure that their son doesn't end up in that other category. How would they know to do that with their sons unless they are already familiar with the climate that we live in? And this assertion, assumption that we're expendable as men, brothers. this is why I say, man, it's kind of hard to have these conversations because there's too many men that too many brothers that their egos won't allow them to acknowledge that they see the world through dirty lenses, that, you know, or rose colored lenses. And they're still brought up a certain way. And just because they can pay their bills, just because they can manage their affairs, they still feel like they have an understanding of the world around them. And they go out there and give these young brothers bad advice. And you can tell because, you can tell, just like you can tell the immaturity in the female, you can tell the immaturity in the male by how they think and what leads their thinking. Like, if you're a dude and you're going on, and you're going on these trips, right? Like, guys' trips or whatever. You know, you hanging out with the fellas, this, that, and the other. If y'all all out there hoping that a trip out of town is going to end up with bringing somebody back to your hotel, you already are not thinking with the right head. Because, first and foremost, at a certain age, you should grow out of that shit. Making pussy a priority, top priority of that, you need to grow out of that shit. So, you really got to think about, like, the climate that we live in. Like, this backdoor situation that just occurred, that you just heard. How many times you seeing brothers, goofy-ass dudes, go on these trips, and they end up getting robbed, they end up butt naked, waking up the next day unconscious with you know, their digital currency compromised because somebody stole their Bitcoin wallet that was in their phone and emptied it. And you know, once somebody empties your wallet, that's it. Shit is on like a card, like a storage card, like a memory card. That's why they call it digital currency. Or they go to your bank account and take all the money from your bank account. And it's like the, you know, especially you go to other countries. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of dudes out here that have been emasculated to the point, and now they feel as though standing up to who they presume to be an alpha is how they are going to measure themselves in terms of, you know, their levels of masculinity and so forth, which is ass backwards. First of all, you know, masculine men don't go out here calling ourselves alpha. You know, we might have a dominating personality, but alpha is always in competition with somebody, always out there to prove themselves to be the leader amongst men and all that. I'm not trying to prove myself to nobody. I don't have to. I'll be the quiet dude, confidently, quietly in the back of the room, watch you lead all these other fools into in the darkness. And I see it happening so much, man. And so, but you know, I say all this to say, fellas, you know, keep building because they chose the bear. They chose the bear. Hold on, man. There's more with this DD clip because I want to go further into it. Like the young lady, and the lady is drenched in tattoos, which I don't know if that's your aesthetic. It's definitely not mine, right? You know, and they don't look bad on her. It's just not my thing. You know, but she's, you know, nice looking lady, you know, nice looking, you know, look like she might be mixed having this conversation, but she's definitely talking about brothers, right? And with this aesthetic that she's dealing with right now, with all the tattoos and this, that, and the other, the wig on, you know, hold up. It's what else I have before I go to that? Hold up. Because fellas are like, this is how fellas are seeing the world now. Check this, right? Check this clip out.
I'll be honest, I wasted time, dated jerks, chased excitement. I'm done with that now. I'm ready for you.
Ready or tired?
That's not fair. I grew up. I want stability. You were always there. You'd be good for me.
There it is. Good for me. Not wanted. Useful.
I'm choosing you.
No. You're settling. That's different.
So what? People settle all the time.
They do. But I don't volunteer to be the safety net. I'm not the guy you pick after the party ends.
You're acting like I'm damaged.
I'm saying you're selling a high-mileage story and asking me to pay full price. That's like buying a car with 200,000 miles because it's finally reliable.
Wow, that's cold.
So is paying interest on someone else's fun. I won't finance your pass for the promise of leftovers.
So you're just rejecting me?
I'm declining the offer. I'm not a backup plan. I'm not a consolation prize. I'm the destination.
And that's where men are at these days, man. They, you know, and brothers, you ought to appreciate yourselves for that. Because while they talk about, you know, this whole notion about a male loneliness epidemic, I want y'all to peep this, right? Hold up. Because it's not a male loneliness epidemic going on. Oh, which direction am I going? I'm going the wrong direction. Hold on. You know, I should have named this the Loaded Clips Edition. But hold up. I'm going to let y'all hear something before that. But I want y'all to check this out, right? Because this is the audacity that we're dealing with right now. This level of audacity. Check this out.
How many kids you got?
I got three.
You got three?
Yep.
How many baby daddies?
I have three.
You got three baby daddies.
Yes, I'm not ashamed of my three kids. And if I wouldn't have the three baby daddies, I wouldn't have my three amazing kids. For me, you have to accept me as a whole with a four unit. So it's either, are you even equipped to hold down this four fort?
Fellas, do you know how badly we have to have dropped the ball over the years for women to even have the audacity to speak as if we qualify, she might consider allowing us to take care of her and her kids? She said, are you even equipped to take care of us? Like we gotta qualify first, and then if we're lucky, she might select one of us. All of the desperate panda bears and the beta men who put this battery in this woman's back, step to the front of the line.
Shout out to the real Stacey Prince for that clip. Yeah, you know, it's funny to me, right? Because we go from that,
and
we go from that to this, right? Hold on, we go from that to this.
And there's not a desire for black men to make black women the mother of their children, even though they came from black women. They were raised by black women.
And here goes the your mother's black trope. So that's why you need to absolve, you know, the sisterhood of all the bad treatment, of all the evil and mean things they do to us. And with unapologetically, by the way. Because there's never an apology. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, it's like we just going to scrape past the part where, you know, the damage was done. We need to just move on past that and not even acknowledge it. Meanwhile, the damage is ongoing. It's being inflicted on a cyclical rate. Like, you can almost predict what day of the week is going to happen, going to occur on. And this is why brothers... Pay attention. Just keep paying attention.
They grow up, they become successful, and they don't pick us. And now we see it translating down into the middle class world, right? I'm not a celebrity. The people I date are not celebrities. We don't have that kind of money. But now it's being translated to a level where I could relate to, where your working class black man, white collar or blue collar, they're not choosing us anymore either. You could go back on my last post and you could read the comments. It is true. It is true. And it's actually heartbreaking as a black woman to hear men say those things and to see that, like, they just don't want us.
And... Oh, hold on. One more. And I shudder to think that people think that this is just literally social media. Like, we see this playing out every day in your real life. We see this. is actually playing out, right? And it's even to the point where, you know, women really still only want you for what they want you for. Like, I had a woman that started a inbox conversation with me, right, on one of these social platforms. And so, she went in to just give a description of everything, you know, her, like, what she likes to do. She likes to dance. She likes art. She likes this, just like that. And I'm like, well, we have each other's phone numbers, right? And then this way to flip, right? Because, you know, I had purchased an item off of her before. You know, I still support black businesses, right? So she said, well, I keep all of my customers' numbers. I said, wow. I said, that's cool. I keep all my merchant numbers. But and then she said, well, why would you want to get off here? And I'm like, I'd like to get to know more about you. Well, I'm very private in my private. Wait. Private in your private life. You were just here sharing everything with me here. And this is where, you know, this is why I don't, when you meet somebody in person, they'd be like, well, you can't have my phone number, but you can have my Instagram. No, thank you. No, thank you. If we're not going to talk on the phone, then there's no need for us to have a conversation. And I'm not, you know, I don't like texting anyway. Like, the text messaging is just, you know, so much clouded communication. It's time consuming. I'm busy. I'm always moving. My hands are always occupied with whatever I'm working on. I don't have time for that BS. You know what I'm saying? But to sit here and see, it was good because, fellas, ladies like to waste your time. And it also gives them a feeling of, well, you know, they want to feel adored and they want to feel valued. And it's so this sort of caters to that. You know, the attention you give them sort of caters to that. And they don't, sometimes they want just enough. They don't really want to deal with you, but they like what you have to provide for them in that moment. And that's why you got to learn to withdraw and pull back and like, oh, you know what? If I wanted something different, I wanted something more, then it's cool. You wanted that. You got that. Hope you're happy with that slice. That's all you get. And y'all got to learn how to walk away from situations that presumably can be toxic. All right. I got to walk away from that because, you know, when you are moving and shaking things, you become light. What I mean by that, you become a powerful source. And when you become that, your aura is beaming as a man, especially as a brother. And you got your life together, you're moving forward. The ladies that you come in contact with, 9 times out of 10, they don't want you. They want the life you can present for them. They want to be able to move in. They want the glass slipper. They want to become your Cinderella, where you are going to change their lives. They're going to even try to become cookie cutters to get into that. But you got to recognize what they're coming to you for. This is why I struggle with a lot of brothers who misinterpreted the message that Kevin Samuels was putting out there, you know, about becoming a high value man. Because Kevin, you know, even in talking about it, he spoke to the value of being a black man, period. And I think that thing got overlooked because everybody wanted to divulge into the high value piece. Every brother wanted to fit into that high value category. And the bottom line is, even though he had a specific list, right, from with his description of what a high value man was, the bottom line is the term high value man actually came from surveys that were taken of women. Not even black women, just women, period, in the 80s. These value terms that we're talking about, needing to be six-figured and needing to be 6 feet tall and need to have, a solid physique and need to be King Ding-a-ling in the bedroom. All those things came from women, collectively speaking, because they realized being on the arm of that man elevated their status. So they look as you know, the women, you know, they try to use terms like hypergamy and things of that nature. But I think it's sometimes misrepresented because hypergamy also means basically this is the best possible, you know, progenitor of, you know, legacy, you know. So, but you think about it, legacy, literally, the strongest form of legacy comes from having access to her womb, not her vagina, but when you are actually planting a seed into her womb. And if she has chosen men that are not categorically like you to impregnate her, men that she is willing to take to court, men that she doesn't mind him suffering, men that she deems to be a bum. Like, these are her words. You know, he's a narcissist. All those terrible characteristics that are placated to describe a man of low value. Then what do you get out of it? Especially when you get with women that have 2 or 3 kids and they tell you they don't want to have any more children. Like, what? You know, I mean, I'm on this type of time right now. You know, when I hear men that try to get with women and these women don't want to get with them anymore, like these women tell them shit like, you know, I'm not going to provide you with listen, hold on. Man, it's wild turkey out here. You know what I'm saying? You gotta go. You brothers have got to, you know, you've got to see past that and see what your value is. Your value is not, as much as a lot of you want to be about bragging about what you do in the bedroom, do you even realize that the thing that draws you to women, the acts that you perform are not even for you? In this Western society, especially in the Black community, sex ain't even for you. If it was, then the whole concept and conversation around sex would be your orgasm. Shout out again to BGS Itmore for putting that, you know, for making that clear. But sex ain't even for you. You too worried about getting a BDR, a bad dick report. You too used to being too afraid to being shamed by a woman. That's why women can talk around like, if you don't have a Johnson and it's this big, you can't even talk to me. Like, what the fuck? You need a Johnson that's the size of a goddamn fucking cucumber for anyway. And y'all don't even realize that she's telling you more about her than she's telling you about you. Like BGS said, women are exposing themselves, gentlemen, and it's up to you to listen. Because these are some hard economic times, so this is why now a lot of them are going out there, they're having these mixers, they're having these speed dating events, and they're upset because nobody's showing up. I think World Star just reported, you can take World Star with, you know, a grain of salt. They said up in New York, the women are outnumbering the men. 3-1. Three to one. Hold on, I gotta make sure I got the right soundboard on for this one. Cause I was about to hit the wrong. You know what? No. That was the right one. It's 3-1. 3-1. Because at these social mixers, right? And in these dating events, and the women have to pay $100 up front to get in. $100 a ticket, and the men get in for free. And they're still outnumbering the men 3-1.
Oh, it burns! Oh, it burns! Oh.
See, a lot of women forgot that we heard them when they said this.
I said, as long as you got your own house, as long as you got your own transportation, and as long as you got your own income, it don't matter what a ninja got to say.
And remember, they chose the bear, right? And, you know, in addition to all the other things that you know, it seemed like the sisters love saying things that will embarrass us, shame us, right? And make us look bad. But then when they can't get us to sort of like capitulate to the way they want us to behave, to keep showing up, now all of a sudden, you know, we're seeing all these pleas for, I don't understand why the men aren't approaching us. We're just out here in public looking cute, and we're making eye contact and everything. I don't understand. Well, maybe it's because the last decade and a half, you've been sitting here creating this atmosphere, this environment that makes every male that approaches you a potential subject for law enforcement to come investigate for some sort of doctored up, proxied form of violence that never occurred. Maybe it's because you've talked about black men specifically. You're going back actually 100 years and using the same script that white supremacists used to demonize black male images, right? So that they can come and utilize that to not only lynch black men at the town square, be it by at the stake, be it by hanging from a tree or hanging from a post or the gallows, but also utilizing that same thing to steal, to burn down, rob and pillage black communities that were created by black men. And now that's the same thing that's going on now. And unless black men are taking part of some goofy shit, they're not even looked at in terms of being respected in their own communities. So it's about time, black brothers, I say, man, show them your back, bounce. Until you're getting treated with the proper respect, and we know it's not just a plea of desperation, a cry for help, but it's sincere, Then y'all brothers have got to choose yourselves. And listen, don't let the ladies gaslight you by saying something as low vibrating, as lower level of thinking as, he just doesn't like black women. Who hurt him? This, that, and the other. There's not even the process of dealing with bullshit like that. That's the sort of, that's the deflection, the redirection of the conversation so they don't have to ever be accountable for the dirt they've done. Right? That's like, you know what I'm saying? That's like no longer accepting being bullied by a bully. And then the bully's talking about who hurt you. You know what I'm saying? So don't allow them to shade or shame you into moving certain ways. And man, I had so much more I could have added to this one. I literally had to just pick and choose, some of the materials that I could respond to just for this joint. But it's real simple, brothers. You got to start choosing you. And I'm not saying that you need to hate anybody. I'm not doing what a lot of the sisterhood do. And go around and have these mass conversations. Like, you can even see them now today. TikTok has a feature where they can have like these live panel discussions. Clubhouse has this feature. Twitter has this feature. And all these places. And you see these groups of women consolidating on how they can best hurt black men. How they can harm black men. I have yet to find a site where black men are walking around talking to groups of angry white women about how can we unalive black women. But then the sisters of this year now are pretending like those conversations don't take place, even when you let them hear them, even when you take them to the source. It's just like they pretend not to understand the origins of feminism, and not just that, but the CIA origins of feminism in the black community. And when you show them how, like, you can like actually show them the books, you can show them the interviews, you can show them the people that were actually in the rooms when they were having these meetings. And it's still like, well, no, because they still kind of like the death grip they've had on the black community for so long. And so this is why I'm unapologetic about this shit, because a lot of people want to save the black community. I'm one of them. I'm a black nationalist, but we can only save what is salvageable. It's like you got rotten fruit. You can't grow a tree with seeds from rotten fruit. You got to take fertile, clean fruit, plant it in fertile ground, nurture it, and raise it. Give it enough sunlight, tender love and care, till it produces its own fruit. And then you got to make sure that fruit is not infested with parasites. It becomes toxic, that the environment is not acidic. You got to do those things. So those are the things we need to do. Because the women pretend like they weren't there for you know, from like the 60s when these conversations were going on. These conversations started in the 60s, gentlemen. And with sisters telling us basically, you know, we ain't this and we ain't that. They can live without us and all this other shit. Those conversations, like we had video confirmation. And I know that those conversations started prior to that. Because there's evidence taking this back to the, you know, FDR presidency. Right? But we, you know, just telling us all these different things and thinking that we're just supposed to take it. That's why they feel the comfortable slapping us in public or punching us, challenging us to fights. You don't challenge no grown man to a fight. Shit, you gonna wish you was with the damn bear. That's for sure. You gonna wish you was with the bear. So with that said, fellas, man, gentlemen, and all the haters, this is, you know, another broadcast, another episode of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones. And as I always say, gentlemen, war and peace. Because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. And with that, I am out of here.